And welcome to season 2, episode 5 of your favorite podcast on wherever you listen to podcasts, on Spotify, I guess. I'm Heather.
I'm Charles.
And I'm Reese.
And hopefully the audio this week is better than it has been in week past, because we're trying different things. So hopefully it sounds really good. We're going to start off by this week has been polarizing, to say the absolute least.
Yeah.
But there have been good moments in a sea of bad. And so we're going to talk about the good and the bad. And then we'll move into our take, which fittingly for a week like this is biggest villains in baseball. We're very excited to talk about that. And I have a good one. And I'm curious to see who they thought of. So it's just the three of us this week, and we're going to talk first about the good news, which is the first female Black coach was hired in professional baseball history was hired on Monday, and her name is Bianca Smith, and she was hired as the Red Sox minor league coach. Mm-hmm. It's very exciting, and you know, we make it a point of, the social justice-y stuff that we've talked about, especially recently, has skewed negative. Mm-hmm. This is a positive, and we definitely don't want to let it fall by the wayside. This is huge, should have, again, happened so many years ago. But I think it's interesting, and I want to know what you guys think. It's the Red Sox, who have a not-so-lovely past in terms of race relations and the city. I think it was voted a couple years back, like, the most subtly racist city in America, which it's like such an interesting, nobody really thinks of cities in the North, quote unquote, as being racist, but obviously the sports franchises in the past have had issues all across the board with the Patriots and the Celtics and the Red Sox. So, but it's really exciting for Bianca Smith, and I love to see it. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think it's awesome. I mean, like you said, Heather, the Red Sox definitely made a step in the right direction with this one. And I think she's a great coach. You know, you said it should have happened earlier, but I think they chose the right coach in Bianca. She's an amazing coach and will represent Black females really well, I think, in terms of this opportunity. And I think it's awesome. I mean, she was the hitting coordinator over at Keio University, and now she's over with Boston. And you mentioned the subtle racism. I don't know how subtle it really was. Maybe it was covered up really well, because we didn't really hear about it, and it wasn't really brought to light a lot until Torrey Hunter really brought up all those times that he would go there and he would face threats, or, you know, you can read the article. He was just, you know, totally attacked just based off of his race. So that's, you know, not okay. And it's something that Boston is trying to work on, I'm sure, and it's a very, very powerful move from the Red Sox. I think it's awesome, and hopefully she can continue to move up, and we could see her on the in the Red Sox dugout here in a couple maybe years or so.
I think she's incredible. I was watching a couple interviews with her today, and it's just really cool to see the representation not only for females but also for the Black community in baseball. I know that there's been like a decline in Black players over the years. And so I think it's amazing that she can kind of show up and be the face of, again, females and Black Americans. And so I think that that's amazing. Additionally, I think it's going to be, I just think honestly, overall, it's really inspirational. I know that she has aspirations of like working in the majors. Like right now, obviously she's the minor league coach, but she wants to be general manager one day. She wants to make it all the way. And I definitely think she can. She's more than capable. She's extremely hardworking. There was one point in one of the interviews I watched, she said she had 8 jobs at once, just to pay for an apartment. She got 2 degrees from the university. Like this woman is amazing. And so I think it's definitely, it's awesome to see. It's progress and it's amazing. And I'm so excited to see what she does within the Red Sox organization.
I am too. I'm thrilled for her. And I think we all hope that she has all the success in the world. Because she deserves it. And she's earned her place as the coach, not to mention. So that's exciting. I don't know what the opposite of the word exciting is, but dreadful? I don't know. We all know that on Wednesday, Trump supporters terrorized our nation's capital out of pure spite, anger, envy, because they didn't like the results of this election. There's no even, anybody that even tries to compare it to the Black Lives Matter peaceful protests is very mistaken and ignorant because Black Lives Matter protests were happening because Black people were being killed unlawfully.
And this is domestic terrorism. Like there's no
This is
comparison.
Terrorism. Yeah, there's absolutely no comparison. But this is a terrible time. I mean, we've been saying that for like a year now because just 2020 was so bad, but 2021 is starting out worse. And this is really hard to be a part of. It's hard to even associate with some people in this country right now. It's really hard because this isn't democracy. This isn't America, or this is America. And that's the challenging part. So I don't know if you guys just want to speak to it, but I'm ashamed. I cannot believe that our country has become like a bad Dwayne Johnson movie. It's just, there's no words for it. And I really hope that with the Biden administration, we start to experience some unity again. And Trump was also banned from Twitter, which I think is hilarious. Anyway, what do you guys think?
Yeah, Twitter and Reddit. And I think Instagram, Facebook, he's just getting canned everywhere. And I think it's hilarious. what's this security at our nation's capital doing? I mean, it seemed very easy.
Taking
for it to
selfies
happen.
With them? Did you? Yeah.
Yeah, taking selfies with them. I mean, it seems like the Capitol building is now the new place to like really make a statement. This is the second time in 2 years that it's been occupied by a civilian, I don't even know what you want to call it, just by people that aren't supposed to be there. So I think during this time, we really need to come together and, you know, like Biden said, we need to heal. We can't judge either side, and whatever it is, it's meant to be. And, you know, I feel that hopefully, no matter what happens, good will obviously triumph over the evil that has been going on. And that's usually, you know, whenever the truth always comes out and good always prevails, this is what I'm hoping for in this situation. And you're right, Heather. It's like, you know, is White House down? Olympus has fallen? Are we going to get Gerard Butler or Channing Tatum or Jamie Foxx in the mix here too? I mean, we could get them all in there and just add The Rock and then just call it, you know, Capitol has fallen.
I mean, they do a better job of guarding the Capitol than clearly any of the
Just get Jamie Foxx a rocket launcher out there in the presidential limo. He'll hook it up. He'll know what to do from that point on. Reese, what do you have on this in this crazy situation?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have much more to add other than what you guys said. I mean, I think that this nation is so polarized. I think it has been throughout its history. It's just becoming more and more evident as time goes on. And I really hope that under the Biden administration, like you said, we can come together and be more unified. I agree with Charles. I think that good will prevail in the end, but obviously, like, the cracks are being exposed right now. And I mean, It was sickening, and it's crazy because you wake up and it feels like every day you're living through another massive historical event. Like, all I know is like the BBQs and like AP history in the future are gonna be insane.
It's gonna be insane. That's hilarious.
Imagine, yeah. Try to describe the effects of COVID during a time when the nation's capital was being raided, how that affects the economic downturn of Trump's presidency. I wouldn't even know where to start. Right. That'd be crazy. Right.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
Exactly. And then you throw social media into the mix, like the president of the United States got banned from social media. Like, that in itself, I think that's hilarious. It's about time. But like, On a more serious note, though, I think it's horrendous, the events that took place. I think that it really shows. I mean, you hear everyone saying, this isn't who we are. Like, this isn't America. And it's like, yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is.
It obviously is, because this has been going on. Like, literally, this is, like, the origin of this country. Like, racism, like, is inherent in the United States. And there are so many things that need to change. And I'm so hoping and praying that under Biden, we are able to recognize these problems and act accordingly and fix them and make everybody feel safe and welcome in this country, because that's how it should be. And I also hope that the people who raided the Capitol face the consequences, and I hope that they're punished appropriately.
They already arrested one of them, so that's good. The guy who sat at Pelosi's desk has been arrested.
I just think I just want to speak to that really fast. Just I mean, the racial divide in policing has never been more obvious. I mean, if it wasn't last year, they're like escorting rioters down steps.
Yeah, and then you have people getting tear gassed and shot with rubber bullets. Their eyes are being shot.
Right.
They're being
harassed. This isn't anything new as well,
thrown
guys.
To the ground.
Black Lives Matter.
The whole Rodney King situation back in the 90s, this was just as the same situation. So, I mean, it's nothing new, like you guys are saying.
I mean, and it's just, it's the policing system, defund the police has been a bad term that has been misunderstood and misconstrued, but there needs to be a change fundamentally within policing. There just needs to, it was again founded on a racist principle. It was a British, the police force started British when it came here. Obviously it was to defend, you know, white people against slaves or, you know, vagrant black people. It was blatantly obvious, and that was their intention. And to see that things haven't changed, you know, anyway, it's just upsetting. I hope that this country somehow finds unity, somehow can come together and prevail amongst this evil. And it's evil is what it is. And we need to extinguish it, but not just extinguish it, permanently exclude it from this country and who we are, because we want to be better and we can be better, I believe. So anyway, I'm not running for office. I'm just a part of a sports podcast. I will wrap, we'll wrap that up there. And then we'll come right back with your take, our take. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to All Talk No Bach. This is your favorite segment and ours. This is your take, our take. We're going into a very fitting topic this week. As Heather said, who are our favorite players to hate, our villains of baseball? So we're going to start off with Heather, since she coined it and gave it the title. Heather, who is your villain of the week and villain of baseball?
Villain of the week and villain of baseball. Well, it's fitting because this guy's a current MLB player. I don't know if you guys chose former, you probably did. I am going with the entire Houston Astros organization. No, I'm just kidding. Shout out to the entire Houston Astros organization. I have some honorable mentions, so we'll get there. But my choice is Carlos Correa. Why? Well, first of all, Carlos Correa just seems like an asshole. And I don't think I'm the only one that believes that. He's an arrogant guy. He likes to pimp home runs, although I do believe it's cool to pimp out home runs, but he just sort of is a dick. I mean, he just seems like a dick. I want to cite a couple of moments from specifically the 2017 cheated World Series, in which the Dodgers could be now two-time World Series champs in 4 years. But they're not because of the cheating. And so Carlos Correa claimed that Cody Bellinger didn't know the facts. We all remember that quote from when Cody, you know, basically told them their apologies were nothing and Aaron Judge was cheated out of an MVP that season, which he also was, by Jose Altuve, who was also cheating with the Houston Astros and hit like 345 or something, but it was cheating. And all those games at home don't count in my opinion because they were cheating. And then a few moments after the very half-hearted apologies that the whole Houston organization gave, he told ESPN, we deserve some respect. No, you don't.
Okay.
Ever. I mean, this isn't just for the people that may be more casual fans and maybe aren't like obsessed with the Houston Astros shooting scandal like every Dodger fan is, but in particular, you know, obsessive baseball fans in general. This is like the biggest cheating scandal since like 1920. So basically when the two pandemics, the Spanish flu to coronavirus, it's that same span
of time.
History repeats itself. So, you know, that's what, okay. But then, and here's something really egregious that maybe the fans of both teams, Houston and Dodgers, may have forgotten. Carlos Correa had the nerve to, right after they won Game 7 of the World Series at Dodger Stadium after having cheated their way to that title, he proposed to his girlfriend at Dodger Stadium, our sacred ground. That's just like, I don't know what that's like. I can't think of a really solid analogy right now, but that's just annoying. And he just really gets under my skin. I know that he was really good in 2020, which makes this all feel even more disgusting, because then they're going to say, oh, we weren't cheating and we're still a good team. Look at us. But let's be honest, they wouldn't have made the playoffs any other year. They were barely above 500. They may have not been above 500.
They were under 500. Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. And I just think that they're the villains trying not to be the villains. And for MLB Network to sort of be like, oh, haven't we done enough to, haven't they suffered enough? No, they didn't get fined. They didn't get their title stripped. None of the players got suspended. The managers of Boston and Houston got suspended for 1 year and then immediately got rehired or hired to other teams. So they didn't face any punishment. They don't have any consequences for their actions. And the Dodgers, meanwhile, lost out on a title. Puig could be a World Series champion right now, but he's not. As could Rich Hill. And we all at Dodger Nation know the people that could be World Series champions that are not. So that's how I feel about it. I have honorable mentions. Justin Verlander, also part of that team, but because he didn't hit, because it's an American League team, he cheated less, obviously, but he cheated. And he cheated again when it came out that the Fired Angels guy, they were texting for the sticky stuff to put on their hand so that the ball had more traction on their hand. That came out recently too. And another thing this week, to add to this week, and Justin Verlander cheated again. Cheating, happy new year, everybody. Cheating. AJ Hinch is also on my list. Jose Altuve, Alex Bregman is a prick. They're just everybody on the Houston. But that, so until I'm Houston focused with my villains. Of course there are others, but that's why we have two other co-hosts of the podcast. So go ahead, Reese. Yeah, who are your villains?
Okay, well, my villain is not a super villain, but he did do some scandalous stuff whilst in the big leagues. So my guy's Jason Giolme, and I chose him because he had a really successful 20-year career, which is insane. That's like basically my entire life, which is crazy. But anyways, he retired back in 2015, but this dude was on steroids in like, what, 2002. Anyways, but he played for like four different teams. He had a bunch of success with the A's and the Yankees. However, whilst in the midst of that success, like I said, he was using, which is highly unfortunate. He did end up like winning back the graces of the public because he came out and like apologized years later. And like he gave some like really weird, like vague apology at first, and he was like, oh, sorry for like letting the fans down, but like I can't like tell you why yet, basically. And then like proceeded to then allude to steroids, and then after the whole thing came out. Anyways, but this dude, I mean, like, I chose him because, like I said, like, it just sucks when you see, like, players who you look up to a lot and, like, they're seeing a lot of success. Like, this guy thought it was awesome that he played for so long and, like, was having such a successful career, really contributed a lot to the team that he was a part of, and then came out and was like, oh, like, sorry, like, I was using. I mean, it was, like, cool that he, like, apologized and, like I said, he got back in the good graces of the fans. But, yeah, I decided to.
That's an interesting one. I wasn't expecting that from you.
Well,
that's
I
a
like
good
to
one.
Keep people on their toes. Thank you.
Jason Giambi and Carlos Correa. Jason Giambi and Carlos Correa. Wow. I mean, those are guys like you hear guys like Patrick Beverley or, you know, those guys that if they're not on your team, you know, you kind of you don't like them. But if they are, then you like them. Correa and Giambi, even if they're on your team, you just kind of you just don't like them either way. They're just guys that are just kind of hated even on their own team. And I'm sure by like their fans as well. So I'm going to keep it in the same realm. Many Yankee fans hate this guy. I'm going with Alex Rodriguez as my villain.
Yep, there it is. I was waiting for somebody to use that one.
So, hey, Rod!
So I don't get how everyone is just cool with Alex Rodriguez now. Huh? Like, that's how it works?
No,
like, everything's
I'm
good?
Not.
Apparently, because one of the biggest cheaters in the history of baseball, a man who was once suspended for an entire year and sued the league of baseball, is now a ESPN baseball analyst. So how is somebody like that?
Bad at his job.
Okay, I'm getting to that. But how did that even happen? Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't see Barry Bonds or Pete Rose, any of these guys who just like totally spit in the face of the game of baseball, getting a chance to then analyze it. I mean, when ESPN announced that, I was like, are you serious? And on Sunday Night Baseball, like the biggest thing that baseball has, you're going to give him Sunday Night Baseball. I couldn't believe that. And, you know, all is forgiven. All was forgotten, apparently, with him. You know, you do steroids.
What are consequences?
You sue
right?
the league.
I don't know.
You sue the league. You're a terrible example to all the kids that are up and coming and, you know, are looking to you as an example. And, you know, even aside from the roids, he's been widely considered as like a vain, disingenuous guy, even especially from his hometown. I mean, this is another guy who is just from, like, even people from his own hometown don't like him. So talk about a guy you can't even love to hate. I mean, this is just you just hate him kind of thing. So I mean, I don't even know like how he got the job. He was a Yankee. He said he didn't do steroids in 2007, and then in 2009 he admits it, and it's just like this whole it took so long for him to come out and admit that. And it was at the same time where Giambi was using it. It was 2001 to 2003. And his excuse was just piss poor. Like, he was under so much pressure that he had to use the steroids. Are you joking? Who isn't under pressure coming into MLB? You know, like, all of these guys who come up from the minors are on the spot. They need to prove themselves. And guys like Trout and Judge, you know, they come up and they do their thing. Even someone like Bryce Harper, who was drafted
really
like
point.
Close to like right out of high school. Like, these guys had all the pressure in the world because they didn't even go to a college, some of them, and they performed without the drugs. So there is no excuse for someone like A-Rod to say something like that. And even in the other guys, they totally just like said, you know, if for anyone who's watched the other guy's movie, it's like, you should have shot A-Rod because Mark Wahlberg shoots Derek Jeter.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah.
It's like, they make jokes about like A-Rod getting shot. I mean, that's how bad this guy is. And then he even
that's
gets J-Lo.
Reference.
He gets J-Lo too. I mean, how lucky can this guy get?
Oh, that's
and you
right.
just cheat and you spit in the face of the league. And he's, like you said, Heather, my final point, he's a terrible announcer. He is not a good announcer, so
he's
I don't even
good.
Know why they hired him in the first place. Could have been for the, you know, the bad boy appeal, maybe. I have no idea. I don't like it. That's my villain right there for you.
Yeah, just goes to show you kids, if you cheat and if you do the worst, then you get hundreds of millions of dollars. You get to marry pretty talented celebrities. You get to keep your trophies and your money. You get to, and then if you're Pete Rose, you get to live a long, happy life full of riches. And even though you say, fuck you, it's all a baseball. So I hope these villains, I don't know what I hope for them. I don't hope the word, I mean, maybe they'll have a come to Jesus moment where they reconcile for all their past wrongdoings. Maybe they have. I don't think Carlos Correa has, but maybe A-Rod has. I'd like to think that J-Lo wouldn't take A-Rod if A-Rod was still like, I don't know. I don't want to speak for these celebrities and high profile individuals, but
I mean, I've heard J-Lo, you know, isn't perfect. I've heard things about J-Lo too. I don't know. I mean, I've heard she's hard to work with.
J-Lo now.
I got to speak some truth today. This is the villains, and I've got to call them out for being villains.
Speak your truth,
Charles. I'm speaking my truth today, guys. And you know what? I think the only belief that I have in a changed A-Rod is if The Simpsons made an episode about it and it's some sort of prediction. But other than that, no chance. A-Rod's still going to be the same guy he always is, unless... like you're saying, Heather, unless he finds Jesus or something, I don't know.
No, a come to Jesus moment is not finding Jesus. That's not,
it's like
not a religion.
Realize,
it's an expression.
Realize that you did something wrong and like,
yeah,
like kicked
well, there
in.
You go.
It's same, not literally like.
Close enough.
Same thing. Close enough.
That works too.
Maybe in that moment, anyway, that's when you find Jesus. Yeah, that's what I'll say.
Right, yeah, I mean, it's an expression, finding Jesus, like
sure.
Like finding what's right and all-encompassing and universally respected and blah, 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 right?
Why does that seem like that's a Pixar movie? That seems like a Pixar movie, finding Jesus. That,
well,
why does it seem like
I have been to
a
fan.
They definitely could.
I've seen every Pixar movie at least 5 times. So if these people were to start a Pixar movie, you bet your butts I would be there.
Okay, then follow-up question. If they made a Pixar movie where A-Rod finds Jesus, what would it be called?
It'd be called Soul, obviously. Soul Part 2. It'd be called...
Dude, Soul is such a good movie. Did you guys watch
Heaven,
it?
Heaven Gains a Yankee.
Sorry,
it's
like off topic.
Ew! He was a Mariner, too. Let's not forget. More of his career was
more known for Yankee. He was more known for his time at the Yankees. Yeah, no matter how much time he spent there, he was more known as a Yankee.
Yeah, but he started his career and he was there forever. Anyway, yeah, he won one title with the Yankees. That's why. Anyway. One title for all that money. I think they gave it at the time. It was the most expensive contract in baseball. I think it was like $300 million or something. And
that was pretty huge.
Anyway, one title. One title it got you. Just one. Mookie, in his first year with the Dodgers in that big contract, won a title.
There
so we're
go.
Already true. Tied with A-Rod.
True.
And he's a much better person.
I was just about to say, it's Mookie. Person. Come on. Mookie deserves
and
it.
And he just got engaged. So congratulations.
He
to
did!
Mookie.
Yay, Mookie Betts.
I wish
you and
his
fiance
all
like,
the best.
Yeah, they were dating for like ever. Anyway, Mookie's a great person that only
two rings, the World Series ring and an engagement ring. So let's go, Mookie.
I think what we learned from this podcast is I actually like J-Lo. And if J-Lo sees this, we love you so much. And Charles didn't mean it.
Yeah,
I meant it. No,
and J-Lo,
I'm sorry, but I know you're not a perfect person. I've seen the things people have said. I'm calling you out. I'm sorry. Be a better person. We still love you, but
no,
sorry. You got to work on it.
J-Lo, you're a really good person, I'm sure, and we're all not perfect, J-Lo.
3:30 p.m., no face shots.
What? I don't even know what you said. I don't know what she said. Folks, I don't know what Reese is talking about right now. I cannot confirm nor deny what Reese just said. So we're gonna be right back to wrap things up, folks.
That's it from us at All Talk No Bock. Thank you all so much for joining us on this lovely Spotify Tuesday. We hope you're listening on Tuesday because that's the day it comes out. Please make sure to follow us on all of our social media accounts, All Talk No Bock. We're on Instagram, Twitter. We're going to get our TikTok going. We're on LinkedIn. Make sure to give some love to our Member Mondays. Reese does an amazing job with those Team Member Mondays. You get to see all of our beautiful faces at All Talk No Bock. See everyone behind the scenes, all of our writers. It's a great time. So make sure to check out our LinkedIn. Make sure to check out alltalknobock.com as well. We have our merchandise up there via Redbubble, a lot of sweatshirts, shirts, anything you can really hope for in terms of clothing apparel. We got it for you. So make sure to check that out at the bottom of our site. And be sure to come back next Tuesday as well. We'll have a great episode for you guys. Heather, anything that I missed?
What did you miss? Well, there's more than just clothes on Redbubble, everyone. There's like cell phone cases, backpacks, stickers. Reese is actually designing a sticker. It'll be Reese's signature sticker for All Talk No Bock. So we're excited about that. Yeah, shout out to Johnny for doing a great job with our merch. And he's going to continue to, we have some new merch rolling out, some fan favorite episode references coming out in the next few weeks. So super excited about that. We have some great articles in the works. We may be moving back up to 3 articles a week. Stay tuned for that. We just brought on a bunch of new writers. Super exciting for us. And we're going to have brand new content up on, as Charles was saying, TikTok, but also YouTube and potentially Snapchat and IGTV. So check all that stuff out in the coming weeks. Brought on brand new content producers for us to help us out. And we're so grateful that you guys could sort of see this company in its, as it continues to build. And that's sort of the fun part for us as well. So
grow up so fast, don't
they? They grow up so fast. Thank you all for tuning in. And we don't have a theme yet for next week because nowadays it's just whatever the world provides for us. And that's...
Yeah, we don't even get to think of anything. The world will just give it to us.
It's just doing it for us. So but have a happy Tuesday. Have a great rest of your week. We'll see you next week. We love you all. Tell your friends about us. Tell your family. Check out all our new stuff coming up. Bye, guys. Hearts. Bye, bye, bye. Bye, bye.